My name is John Waits, and I am the curate at St. Margaret's in Chipstead. It's my pleasure to welcome you to this Book of Common Prayer Holy Communion service. We start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We've got used in the time of pandemic not being able to take communion in the church, as we would all, I'm sure, like to do. But it's perfectly possible to have the Lord Jesus come to us in a spiritual form in this Eucharist. There's a prayer by the Great St. Mary's Church in Cambridge that sums up that Jesus here is with us at this communion, and is inspired by a prayer of St. Richard of Winchester. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for the pains and insults you have borne for me. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more dearly, day by day. Amen. So pause now if you wish to take a moment to find the bread and the wine that we'll need later on in the service. And the prayer of preparation for us all. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And the commandments. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us, and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. Almighty God, whose kingdom is everlasting and power infinite, have mercy upon the whole church, and so rule the heart of thy chosen servant, Elizabeth, our Queen and Governor, that she, knowing whose minister she is, may above all things seek thy honour and glory, and that we and all her subjects, duly considering whose authority she hath, may faithfully serve, honour, and humbly obey her in thee and for thee, according to thy blessed word and ordinance. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth, one God, ever world without end. Amen. Now we come to the collect set for the day.
The collect for Sunday the 23rd of January. God of all mercy, your Son proclaimed good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom to the oppressed. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit and set all your people free to praise you in Christ our Lord. Amen. The first reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 4, beginning at the 14th verse. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets, and I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Good morning. Deborah contacted me about 2 weeks ago and asked me if I could talk at this service. Now, I fully admit, my immediate reaction was have a brief moment of panic, to think I can't possibly do that. I'm certainly not knowledgeable enough, not holy enough, simply put, not really good enough. And then I calmed down. I took a moment to think. I spoke to my husband, David. I read the readings from today's passages and I prayed. And I had a really clear thought come to me of that passage from Matthew 18 that says, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. So before we think about these readings today, let us pray. God, be with us today as we think about these readings. I ask that you guide my thoughts and my words, that the message you want to hear becomes part of our hearts and minds. And anything that is not of you, that is not your intention, should be forgotten. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I implied, this isn't my normal role. This isn't where I feel at my most comfortable. So where am I comfortable? Where do I fit in? Well, Monday morning, I'll say goodbye to David. I'll say goodbye to our three children, our two dogs. I'll get in my car. I'll drive down the M23. I arrive at work. I change my clothes. And then I start work as a dentist. In that one summary, I've given you an insight into several roles I have. Wife, mother, dog owner, driver, dentist. Roles that I feel comfortable and familiar. And even in my life at St. Margaret's, I have different roles and different responsibilities. First and foremost, I'm here as a Christian, as a member of our church community. But you might be more familiar with me singing in the band or as an elected member of the PCC. I'm part of Ray and Amanda's life group. I help out with junior church. I'll sing with a choir at Carols by Candlelight. And pre-COVID, I helped run a stall at the Summer Fete, and on a Wednesday I'd go and join in with Worship Workout. And this morning, in a rather unexpected twist, here I am, sharing my thoughts about the readings we heard today. Given that context, I find it really interesting that today's reading is this one from Corinthians. Here we have an extract from a letter written by Paul to the Christian community he'd set up in Corinth in Greece. I get a picture he's sending a message of unity, of teamwork, of the need to work together. Interestingly, when you go into different Bible versions of this reading, you get those little headline summaries you get at the beginning of a little new story. And it's slightly different depending on which version you read it. The King James Version, the summary was unity and diversity in one body. The Good News Bible summarises this passage as one body, many parts. And I also quite like the Message Bible's interpretation, but I'll get to that in a minute. So we have this image of unity and diversity. We're all different, but we're working together. The idea of one group, one body, made up of different parts. And so that's us here today. One community, one faith, one gathering of people in the name of Christ, but all made up of different individuals, each with their own role to fill, and in my own case, many roles to fill. It is a rather wonderful and relatable analogy. All of us here being like one enormous body in Christ, each part of something much greater than ourselves. And I really like this bit. Each refreshed by the same Holy Spirit. As I said, I especially like the interpretation given in the Message Bible. In there, Eugene Peterson makes the examples of the hand and the eye. Both are the big glory roles. Eyes give us our sight, one of the five senses. And hands are arguably our very best tools. We make things, we do things, we create things with our hands. But if we were one big eye or one big hand, we would be pretty much useless. A monster even. He then goes on to mention the stomach. You can actually exist without a hand or an eye. But what about those unattractive bits, the hidden bits, the unseen bits, the slightly ugly, squidgy bits, like our stomachs or our livers? They're certainly not beautiful. They don't get the glory. They are mostly unseen, quietly doing their thing in the background. But without them, we can't exist. The passage goes on to say that if one part suffers or hurts, then we all hurt. And this is also true in the body, where one part might be hurt, but the whole body is conscious of it. We cut a finger and we feel it. Our whole body will be involved in healing that wound, whether it's our stomach and our digestion taking in the nutrients that are the building blocks of our existence. Our bloodstreams deliver those nutrients to the correct places, and our cells heal and repair that area. As a community, do we act as one? If someone is hurting, do we feel their pain and share in their healing? The passage continues that if one part is praised, then the other parts share its happiness. Do we do that enough? Do we celebrate enough the successes of our community and the work we've achieved together? Do we take ownership of our successes and failures? Do we remember that every little action, maybe something that seems rather small and insignificant at the time, is combined as part of a greater purpose? It's quite easy to sit back, attend church on a Sunday. To all intents and purposes, be nothing more than a passenger on that journey. But if we get involved, if we look for how we can add to here in our life at St. Margaret's, and as a result, the wider Christian church, then truly we get to be part of something that is bigger than ourselves. At this point, the reading goes on to mention specific roles in the church from that time. It mentions apostles and prophets and teachers and those who perform miracles and those who heal. The Message Bible also includes helpers and organisers and those who pray in tongues. You'll be pleased to know that I'm about halfway through right now. When I was planning this talk, I asked several people, mostly from the band, for a little bit of advice. How long I should speak and things like that. Three of them, and I'm not going to name any names, came up with a suggestion that at this point I should break into song, dance a bit of a jig, and maybe do a couple of cartwheels. I'm going to go and decline that suggestion. But instead, I'm going to take you off on a small tangent, a bit of life relief. Do bear with me, it is relevant. As I said, Monday morning, about this time, I'll be doing my work and my normal job as a dentist. Down in West Sussex, there's approximately 1,500 people who, if asked, would likely say that I'm their dentist. I do my best to screen them for problems, to fix and repair their teeth when things are not quite right. I do my best to act with empathy and humanity. It's often a rather unpopular job, and when they come to me in pain, I'll also do my best to fix that as well. Arguably, though, the dentist, within the context of my job, is a bit of a glory role. It's not everyone's cup of tea as a job, but within dentistry, the dentist has definitely got a prominent role. However, that's actually just the superficial bit. So that I can work and do my job, I've got a whole team behind me, and without them, I'm absolutely nothing. To start with, right at the beginning, there was my lecturers, my teachers, about 25 years ago, who imparted their knowledge and their wisdom. Someone designed the chair and several different people made it that my dental patients sit in. Someone wrote the computer software that allowed my receptionist to book that patient in and look up all the details about that patient. A decontamination assistant has processed and cleaned all my instruments and equipment so they're safe and sterile. My dental nurse, she helps me every step of the way. And if I'm making a crown or a denture, a lab technician in a completely separate business with their own staff team, their own equipment, has worked with me and made that teeny tiny bit of dentistry. I haven't even mentioned all the huge array of equipment and materials that all come together in my hands so that I can help my patients eat their food, talk, smile with a little bit more confidence. And after all that, if I've got it right, and if I've done a really good job, no one can even tell it's not the real thing. All those people, myself included, all working together to make that one person, at that one point in time, just that little bit better. Now, suppose we take a massive leap back from my example of a dental patient. We come back to St. Margaret's, our church community, which in itself is a small part of a much wider Christian church, a whole massive team of people working together for a common purpose. I believe this passage is asking us to look beyond ourselves. There is no point deciding that we're not a teacher and therefore we cannot help possibly help out a junior church, or deciding that we don't have Libby's gift for music and therefore we cannot lift our voices and worship. Some of the roles and parts of the church are obvious, but there's also the little things, the unseen jobs, the things that go on in the background, which are never really, you never really see, you don't really think about. And all of that is part of working together as one big team. This passage, I think, is asking us to consider our purpose, to accept that we all have a part to play, not to sit back passively, but to be involved, to take part and to accept our part in that greater purpose. And that leads me to our second reading from Luke. When David and I were first looking at the readings for this service, David gave a really quick summary of Jesus went to the temple and did a bit of a reading. As I said earlier, I quite like looking at a few different versions of it. And when I'd looked at sort of three or four different versions, I came up with my own summary. And I summed it up as Jesus begins his ministry to set the burdened free. For context, we're right at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus has recently been baptized and visited by the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. A voice was heard as saying, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." Jesus, then full of the Holy Spirit, was led out into the wilderness where he was tested. By all accounts, Jesus came through the temptations very well. He was tested and he was proved to be worthy. And this is where we pick up today's Luke reading. Jesus is going back to Nazareth in Galilee. Maybe he was longing for a bit of his mother's cooking and to get a bit of home comforts from after his trials in the wilderness. He's full of enthusiasm and he's buoyed up by the Holy Spirit. And we're told that everywhere he went en route, news spread of his coming before him. He taught in the synagogues and he was well received. The Good News Bible tells us he was praised by everyone. And so now Jesus is back home. The story tells us that it was the Sabbath and he went to the synagogue. The story very much implies that this was his normal habit, something he'd have done every Sabbath day. He went to read the scriptures. And again, the implication is that this was a regular occurrence. He was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And here's where it stops becoming the norm. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit and maybe encouraged by the praise he'd received en route, he chooses a passage. He actively gets the scroll to the bit he wants to read. And suddenly it's become very personal. Jesus reads out loud, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." He then allows the scroll to roll back up. He turns to his silent audience and says, "This passage of scripture has come true today as you heard it being read." So there it is. Jesus is fully out. He's declared himself full of the Holy Spirit, full of confidence that he was tempted and he's come through it with his head held high. Jesus has felt that the time and place is to declare himself and declare it now. He read out loud in the temple amongst people who've known him all their life. He said, "This passage here, this is about me. This is what I'm going to do, and the time to do it is now." Jesus is declaring he's going to bring God's message to the people, and with that message, he's going to set them free of their earthly afflictions. Now, As you'll know, if you read on a little bit, this wasn't very well received. They actually run him out of town and threaten to throw him off a cliff. But today's reading stops short of that. Today, we hear Jesus coming of age. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he sets out his intention and he acts upon it. So, where does that leave us today? Well, we have two readings. The first is a rallying cry for unity, to accept that we're all part of one great big body, acting together for one common purpose. We might be made up of different people with different talents and different purposes. But when we work together, we can be part of something that is much greater than ourselves as individuals. We can be God's hands and feet on this earth, doing God's will. As individuals, we need to spend some time in prayer to keep our hearts and our minds open so that we can hear God's message and do his will. We might not have those big, obvious roles. A lot of the time, our actions and our work might go completely unseen. But if we work together, we can achieve something far greater than we ever could if we were alone. And the second reading is Jesus setting out his purpose. And indirectly, as followers of Christ, he is setting out our purpose. He is declaring he's going to bring the good news to everyone, to the poor, to the oppressed. And by doing so, he will set us free. As I said, right at the beginning, when I was wrestling with whether I could legitimately talk at this service, I called to mind that scripture from Matthew, that when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. The Holy Spirit is today with us today. The scripture is living and breathing today. The time to act is now. We just need to keep our hearts open, our minds open, and our ears open, listening out for what our role might be. Amen.
Your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. All things come of thee, and of thine own do we give thee. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother or sister have need, and shutteth up his compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's Church militant here in earth. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostle has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal Church with a spirit of truth, unity and concord, and grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to save all Christian kings and princes, governors, and especially thy servant Elizabeth our Queen, that under her we may be godly and quietly governed, and grant unto her whole council, and to all that are put in authority under her, that they may truly and impartially minister justice to the punishment of wickedness and vice, and to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word. And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and specially to this congregation here present in our various ways, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, of thy goodness, to comfort and succour all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. Just take a moment to bring before God those whom we would especially commend to him this day. And We also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, beseeching thee to give us grace, so to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Maker of all things, Judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins of wickedness, which we, from time to time, most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thy divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honour and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn to him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what comfortable words our Saviour Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks unto our Lord God. It is meet and right so to do, and it's very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God. Therefore with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather out the crumbs under thy table. Thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for all the sins of the world, and at institute and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. In the same night his betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. And he gave his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. O Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is given for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for thee, and feed on them in thy heart by faith with thanksgiving. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee, preserve thy body and soul unto everlasting life. Drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and be thankful. As our Saviour Christ hath commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee, for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favour and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with thee and the Holy Ghost, be all honour and glory, world without end. Amen. Come to the glory, that great song of praise. Glory be to God on high, and in earth peace, goodwill towards men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee. We give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be with you, your family, your friends, all those whom you love. Be with you today and remain with you always. Amen.